Listen now and hear these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31a. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, just as God has chosen. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have any need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant, Paul, for the work that he did within the church, for his recordings, his writings, his letters. Oh God, we pray that they might rest upon and take root within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. That you, O God, will give us a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Organ transplants have been saving lives for years. And by checking the box on your driver's license or adding a line in your will, our kidneys, livers, lungs, hearts, eyes, skin, a multitude of organs and parts of our body can be transplanted and increase the quantity and quality of life for individuals around us. In today's scripture reading, this epistle, Paul uses parts of the body as an illustration for what it means to be the church. Paul also is looking for a way in which each part of the body will function at its best. The text is a portion of Paul's letter that he writes to the church in Corinth. He wrote two letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Like every other church then and now, every church that has been since then, it is made up of a people with varying spiritual gifts. Some of those gifts are for preaching and teaching. Others are gifted in mission and service. Some are gifted with a business sense, and wherever they involved, profits just seem to roll. Others have the gift of caring for the home and family and one another. And rather than seeing these gifts and all of their differences as a blessing, the Corinthian church is wondering, well, which of these gifts are better than the others? And so they begin this bickering in and amongst themselves as to who has the best gift. And they're striving for power within the group. We know this issue all too well. It happens in just about every organization that you are a part of or have ever been a part of. There's that struggle for power. I remember the first church I served on my own. There was a scout group. And I started getting phone calls at 9, 10 o'clock at night that would go on for hours of people complaining about the scout leader. And it went on and on and on. And I knew the church had problems when I was assigned to it. I didn't know I was going to get involved in scouting problems. And I finally realized that it was a struggle play for who was going to be the scout master. We finally had somebody from one of the corporate headquarters come out, and there was this conversation, and I let them talk for a while, and I said, here's the deal. You get your act together in the next few weeks, or I will not sign your charter, and you're out of here. I never heard another complaint. They worked it out. When they knew that everything was going to collapse around them, if they didn't get their acts together, doggone if they didn't get their act together. We've all been a part of those groups or meetings where there's that juggling for power. Maybe even we've gotten caught in the middle of it. We hope that others will see our unique giftedness and appreciate it for us for it. But that's not always the case. We can easily assume when we're reading 1 Corinthians that it's Paul's response to the church that there's been a question sent to him asking him to settle a dispute. Perhaps they have asked him which role, which spiritual gift in the life of the church at Corinth is the most important, and put him in a sense of order, Paul, so we know what the hierarchy is. But rather than ranking the gifts of the Spirit, Paul gives a wonderful illustration comparing each member of the church to members of the body. A group of believers, after all, is a group of different parts of the body of God called to represent the community, or called to represent Christ within the community. Now, on the surface, it may appear that the church is a collection of people who live within a certain distance around the congregation. We all come to the same church on Sunday because, well, perhaps it's become our home. Or maybe we drive a little farther and pass a few churches on our way because, well, we like their worship service better, we like their pastor better, or, you know, during their fellowship time, they have the best coffee. We may attend a Sunday school class or a small group and maybe help with the youth or join a committee, and for most point we think that it stops there. We can get involved as little or as much as we want. And then the church no longer is meeting our needs, or we begin to disagree with the statements coming out of the church, or we disagree with some of the statements that the pastor makes, and we just simply can stop attending. We transfer our membership to another church. We simply detach from the body and join another body where we think we are a good fit. But sometimes, and maybe that's what's happening at the church in Corinth, we find that those that we're sitting in the pews with, well, they're a little different than we are. They just don't quite fit. Perhaps we have a minority opinion or a minority gift, and the interests that are surrounding us are different than most of the other members of the congregation or the church. Perhaps an individual senses, well, I'm not quite with the in-group, and they may feel shut out, pushed away, and unwanted. Church membership and affiliation is not a responsibility that we should take lightly. It's different than being a member of a book club or having a gym membership. You don't show up just to have your needs met. Today's reading demands a deeper commitment from each and every one of us. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible teaches us that our connection to one another in Christ is a big deal. We are the eyes, the ears, the feet, and the hands. We are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We are dependent upon the body of one another, and we function best when we realize that in the midst of all of our differences, we all work together for the same common goal of making disciples for Jesus Christ. Oh, some of us may be talkers. Others may be thinkers. Some of us are planners. Some of us are doers. Some of us find energy when reaching out to the poor and the needy, and others when ministering to children through Sunday school or the youth program. Some are excited about worship on Sunday morning, while others are called to go outside our walls and to love those who have been pushed away. We think differently because we are different. And that, my friends, is okay. That's God's design and wisdom for each of us. God has gathered us together as the body, just how God wants it to be. Our task then is to work together, serving Christ in all that we do. If we would jump back to the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12, we'd see that Paul talks about what it is that makes us one. He acknowledges our differing gifts and then reminds us that these gifts, even though they're different, they all come from the one Spirit, from God. We're all made from the cells of one body. And when we come together as the church, we are more than our individual selves. We become a part of that glorious organism that serves as Christ's representatives to the world. We all may be shaped differently, look differently, but we're all made of the essential same stuff. And we are all created in the image of God, and we are all redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we are all strengthened and renewed by the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit. We are called to accept our role, to celebrate that those roles are different than the roles of the individual sitting with us here today. And we are called then to use those roles and those gifts for the common good of our calling in the Church of Jesus Christ through God's Holy Spirit. Today, let us rejoice in our differences. And let us remember the gift of God's Holy Spirit that is living, working, alive, and well within each and every one of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us. You have created each and every one of us. And in your wisdom, O God, you have created us to also be different. But you empower us through your same Spirit, gifting us with those gifts and talents to be used for the work of your church, for the bringing together of the body of Christ. O God, continue to bless us and empower us that we might be your faithful servants in the world. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.